Third episode, Exorcism. This meeting took place in a beautiful location that resembled an ancient castle. Medieval reliefs, engravings, royal velvet chairs arranged in a semicircle, and a heavy throne with carved legs stood on the red hall where the Keeper of Knowledge and his disciples gathered. All of this resembled the sacred mysteries of a secret order. The soft half-light seeping through windows covered with burgundy curtains and the semi-darkness enveloping the room created a mysterious atmosphere befitting the theme of the evening's conversation. With an incomparable smile, the Keeper of Knowledge greeted those present and indicated that he was ready to provide answers to any questions that would help the disciples to come closer to unraveling of the mysteries of existence.
Dear Master,
a middle-aged man sitting to the right of the Master, who had come to the meeting for the first time, unlike many other disciples who were long acquainted with each other, initiated the dialogue.
Please tell us, what is exorcism? What does it take to expel a dark spirit or demon from a person? Can evil return if the ritual was performed against the person's will?
Despite a strong accent and difficulties in choosing words, the Keeper understood his disciple perfectly and signaled him not to worry.
If a person doesn't want to be rid of their vice, it means they are holding on to some negative part of themselves, not good. This is precisely what the evil spirit exploits to attack the person. It enhances the negative parts of the person and starts feeding on the negative energy they emit. One must examine, what state is precious to me? Why am I holding on to negative emotions, lies, foolish identification with nonsense, or anything else that puts me in a bad state? One must strive to part with this, sacrifice their negative part, their bad state, causing suffering, so that the evil spirit cannot take advantage of it and cannot seize them.
The Keeper of Knowledge cast a penetrating gaze over the faces of the disciples and noted with satisfaction their total concentration. However, it was not just attention. The Master encouraged the disciples to reflect, and Samuel, seizing the opportunity, continued the dialogue.
From my observations, humans are more likely to give up all the good they have rather than part with their negativity,
shared Samuel with a hint of disapproval.
It seems to me that when a person does not want to part with demons, and a shaman or magician forcefully extracts them, it's like suspenders. One pulls, the other refuses to let go. And this rubber band can pull the evil spirits back.
Samuel comically depicted the scene of pulling on the suspenders, and though few knew what suspenders were, since they were not interested in the history of fashion, like Samuel, infectious laughter echoed through the hall, dissolving in the arches of the ancient ceiling.
Yes, it seems so,
the Keeper approved.
But the essence is more about something else. It is important to understand that even if exorcism is performed, the shaman triumphs, and the dark spirit leaves the body, it is not the end. The demon can always return. In the Gospel, there is a story of Christ casting out 7 spirits from 1 person, but they returned, bringing even more malicious ones, all because the dwelling remained empty. To defeat evil is not enough. The main thing is to fill oneself with something bright, sublime, and beautiful. If a person does not do this, there will be emptiness inside them, and negative forces will penetrate again and take control of the person, manipulating them to their advantage.
I understand, Master.
Samuel slapped his forehead in excitement at the enlightenment that had taken him.
Thank you.
He bowed, placing his palms on his chest in a namaste gesture.
I am beginning to understand. But I have one more question, if you allow.
Getting an approving nod from the Keeper, he continued.
Suppose a person managed to defeat demons with the help of a mentor or spiritual environment, sacrificing their negativity. But what needs to be done to fill oneself with light so that they do not return?
Why don't you try to answer that question yourself, Samuel?
the keeper suggested.
Or perhaps someone can provide an example from their personal experience.
He surveyed the room.
Well, maybe some actions, rituals, exercises that can help,
Samuel suggested after a short pause. The room, along with the man, plunged into discussions. People whispered to each other, trying to find an answer to the question. Meanwhile, the wisest admired these people seeking knowledge, coming here to find truth, gain insight, and touch the light. He loved these moments with all his heart. Suddenly, he interrupted the buzz of discussions.
I heard the correct answer.
He gestured to a woman around 45 years old, inviting her to stand up and share her thoughts. She was a tall, dark-skinned Kazakh woman with a regal posture, wearing a long blue elegant dress with golden ethnic patterns on the sleeves, resembling an Asian queen from historical movies. Adjusting her black, pitch-dark hair glistening in the sunlight, the woman pronounced clearly and loudly,
I think it's a purpose. Every person should have some great purpose. A person filled with meanings and elevated emotions lives by an idea, and then no evil spirits can possess them.
You are absolutely right, Dina.
The keeper nodded approvingly.
A person living in a senseless state, not striving for anything, risks sliding back into negative ideas and emotions, and the foolish thoughts implanted in them by demons will become a guide to action.
People nodded in agreement with Dina.
Exactly. Why didn't I think of that myself?
Lamented the man sitting nearby by the window. It was evident that for him, like many in the room, the answer to how not to slide back into a weak negative state hindering the achievement of high goals was crucial. And this meeting provided him with answers to many of his troubling questions.
Thank you for inviting me to the dialogue, Great One.
The disciple respectfully bowed her head. In the culture of her people, there still exists an understanding of hierarchy and reverence towards wisdom, which permeated all of its manifestations.
I also have a question. May I formulate it now? I have already understood that it is impossible to rid a person of evil without their desire. But what if the desire is there, but the person does not understand how to overcome these spirits?
The master paused and leisurely glanced penetratingly at the faces of the disciples. Men and women, girls and boys. They were all very different, yet united by a common goal. They had come from different continents, just to obtain saving knowledge, catching every phrase, and he continued.
Desire must be present. Once a person realizes that they no longer want to harm themselves, suffer from negative emotions, and feed the dark spirit, that's it. Exorcism can proceed. And if one is troubled by the feeling of being treated unfairly, misunderstood, or underestimated, it's all a lie, an identification then they still cling to. To truly let go of negativity, a person must discard the thought that someone owes them something in this life, and accept that it is they, not others, the complete egoist holding on to wrong attitudes and evaluations. Once they do that, negative emotions will cease. It seemed to me that you want to ask about a specific person, right, Dina?
Yes, I want to help my son. Maybe if I ask differently, I'll understand better.
The woman's face expressed a struggle between the duty of a mother and the disciple's fear of causing pain to the master.
What does the master feel when evil spirits possess his disciple?
He feels that something is wrong.
The keeper furrowed his brows expressively, showing the disciples that each individual's state, like ripples on water, affects the collective field.
Feels that the field is distorting, warping.
The keeper's voice was deep, and his beautifully spiritual face was very serious and focused.
Compassion arises for such a disciple, and he understands that urgent measures must be taken to rid the student of this evil.
With these words, the keeper directed a healing flow of energy towards the son of this disciple, protecting him from the negative influence that had penetrated his heart.
Thank you.
the woman decisively said, taking the master's words as guidance. The words of the master, who cared for each of his disciples as she cared for her own child, helped her understand that she could help her son find the path to the keeper of knowledge. Tears welled up in Dina's eyes. At that moment, she felt warmth in her chest. The great keeper embraced her with his energy, transmitting love and benevolence through space. Meanwhile, the slender as a reed, Layla raised her hand. Layla, the dark-haired dancer from Madrid, her voice was as melodious and smooth as her movements.
Master, should exorcism happen in all three centers? Motor, emotional, and intellectual? Or is the most important thing for thinking to change and the intellectual center to function differently?
Good question, Layla. When an evil spirit possesses, there must be some reason for it. If a person has been thinking incorrectly, experiencing negative emotions, then evil infiltrates. But if a person always thought correctly and experienced elevated emotions, then only angels would fly around them. If a person emits only negativity, then only demons can be around them. They sit and wait for a person to feed them with a new dose of negative emotions. Possession by an evil spirit is always a consequence of our wrong states. Our thoughts are primary. Evil enters only afterward. As I mentioned before, that's why it's crucial not just to conduct exorcism sessions, but to teach a person to continue thinking correctly, aligning themselves properly, and experiencing the most elevated emotions. Then, instead of demons, angels will always circle around them.
Inspired by the painting depicted by the Keeper of Knowledge, an elegant Frenchman literally flew from his seat, not at all embarrassed by his youthful contrivance. Master, does that mean we perform a mild form of exorcism in our seminars? Essentially, we do the same, banishing spirits of poverty and greed in our rituals. But I can't put the pieces together. In the cinematic rituals of exorcising the devil, people do not behave as, for example, in this room, and yet you have just expelled all the demons from us. I feel it with all my being.
Today, an art critic named Jacques was the oldest in the room. Romantic, gallant, and incredibly affable, he embodied the true spirit of a Frenchman. His short, curly hair, touched by a few strands of gray, added a touch of youthful exuberance to his appearance. A colorful scarf adorning his shirt collar revealed his creative personality.
Of course, Jacques, I understand what you mean. In movies, they depict the most extreme cases. Those are just special effects for dramatic effect. Someone in hysterics, rolling on the floor, held by seven people. It's impressive. Bright images, spectacular shots. After all, it's difficult to show internal changes. For example, how a person rejects a nasty thought that caused negative emotions. Movies don't show the most important thing we just talked about with Samuel. That after expelling evil, a person must fill themselves with something. If they continue to hold on to negativity, the spirits will return.
Yes, I've heard the answer to my question. Thank you, Master.
Jacques sincerely thanked.
That internal changes matter, not external ones. It's not enough to banish the evil spirit. The person's psyche and thinking must change.
And the Parisian gracefully yielded the floor to the next inquirer.
Sorry, Keeper, my question is not entirely on topic, but it has been bothering me for a long time. There is a phenomenon called lethargic sleep, where a person can sleep for many years. What process is happening during that time?
The shy young man of Slavic appearance in a light gray suit asked. His inquisitive gaze, neatly trimmed beard, and glasses, which he occasionally adjusted on his nose, revealed a thoughtful thinker. In fact, he was a philosophy student.
Adam.
The master smiled,
It's quite simple. The awakening process is not working well. Something is broken. The person fell asleep and cannot wake up, entering a lethargic sleep. To make this mechanism work again, it needs fixing. Perhaps hypnosis is needed. Everything breaks, both people and machines. And everything can be repaired and fixed.
These were delightful meetings with the Master. They provided an understanding that from any, even the most complicated situation, there is a simple and clear way out.
Negative aspects? I have a question about them, Master.
A professional astrologer, the bright and magnificent Rafaela, flew to the meeting from Brazil. Today she was all in yellow, which perfectly complemented her thick hair and tanned skin. This woman exuded such energy of vitality and enthusiasm, and her questions were always directed towards finding solutions to real-life situations.
Aspects are like a portal for evil spirits, right? How do planetary aspects work? Why are there so many evil influences, negative powers these days?
Rafaela, the thing is, when planets go through their movements, they resonate with the planets reflected in our aura. Planetary influences are recorded in the aura based on where the planets were at the time of our birth. If there is a negative vibration from the interaction of these planets, a person feels unwell. Destructive thoughts may arise, for example. Then negative emotions arise. He may even get sick. And the reason is in the negative resonance of his internal planets with the external ones.
And how can a person resist this influence then?
Exclaimed the woman, unable to contain her emotions.
What should he do if he is under such a negative aspect crushing him?
Alas, most of the time, people don't even try to resist this influence,
sympathetically replied the Keeper of Knowledge.
Most of the time, people just fall into a senseless state. The negative, destructive influence of planets takes over, and the person, like zombified, acts foolishly, unable to control themselves. But
the Master raised a finger triumphantly, as if hinting to the audience that there is a way out, and his voice became audible even beyond the hall.
If, knowing about a bad period, a person decides to manifest differently, tunes themselves correctly in advance, prepares for the negative aspect to use it for improvement, works on themselves, practices in advance the right reactions to fight negativity with such practices as exaggerating, dismissing negative thoughts, getting angry, observing everything from the sidelines, filtering out bad thoughts and not letting them influence oneself, and as rehearsed many times in their imagination, if this situation happens, I will react this way. And if another one, differently, helping himself with gestures. He showed with gestures one and the other, hero of his story, pumped themselves up with the right emotions. Then when this aspect happens and the vibration goes, and bad thoughts begin to attack them, they will already be ready to resist. A person will look at everything in a new way, react differently.
The disciples were captivated by the interesting topic. Together with the Brazilian, they watched and delved into the meaning of the saving knowledge, looking at their master without interruption, afraid to miss a single word.
Master, did I understand correctly that the planetary aspect affects the essence? And when you realize that I am not emotions, not the body, not thoughts, then you can detach and act differently. And for this, you need to practice in advance with bells, with the stop practice. This is not me. This is not me. This is not me. And then you can avoid falling under these influences?
The woman clarified.
Yes, of course, Rafaela. During spiritual practice, we are under higher influences if we tune into the practice and emotionally engage. By doing more practice, we develop an antidote. And at the moment of a negative aspect, We can resist lower vibrations. The main thing is not to be a fool. Planets tug us as they please. They spin, pull the strings, like puppets. And all because a person, like enchanted, goes without resistance, at the mercy of any thought, any emotion, any state that arises in them. Resist planetary aspects, and they won't be able to influence you that way. Resist the devil, and he will run away from you.
The Keeper's voice pushed the remnants of darkness out of the Darshan space with thunderous rumble.
He will run away! He will run away! He will run away!
The hall emotionally resonated. People jumped up from their seats and passionately helped the Master cleanse them from harmful thoughts and states.
Master.
Continuing to hold an invisible defense with his sacred presence and attention, he gave the opportunity to continue the conversation to the young scholar Adam, who was always interested in the essence, the deepest processes.
We are fighting demons. Does it mean that when we defeat them, they will disappear from this world?
If we manage to overcome the demons, then in our life, he has much fewer chances to infiltrate. We already, so to speak, know him in the face. But if we talk about the whole world, here, a large number of people must overcome some wrong settings. For example, nationalism. Our nation is better than the other. There are people who cultivate such thoughts. Where does it lead? If one nation cultivates such a thought, and another nation does the same, a conflict may arise between them. Each nation will defend that it is better, that its idea is right. When such stupid ideas arise in people's minds, sooner or later there will be a struggle. Or another example, attachment to territory. Some say it's our territory, others say no, it's ours. Attachments to such silly ideas generate conflicts or racism. All blacks are bad, they say, and all whites are good, or something else. This is how wars, riots, revolutions, conflicts arise in society. Everything comes from such false ideas.
The words of the Keeper did not leave the disciples indifferent. Compassion and pain were written on their faces, and one question: how? How to fix it all? Eradicate it? The disciples believed that the Master would help them and other people to get out of the terrible situation in which all humanity found itself. And indeed, with heartfelt warmth, the Keeper of Knowledge exclaimed,
"Therefore, if people started thinking differently, understood that there should be no such thoughts, such stupid ideas causing tension, then everything would change, and evil spirits would not be able to influence people and make them kill each other because of prejudices and false ideas. As long as people are full of such stupid ideas, causing a lot of negative emotions, evil spirits happily flock and start feeding on the negative emotions and sufferings of people."
The furious excitement seemed to electrify the entire space. The words of the Keeper resonated with pain in the hearts of those present, and each was ready to dedicate their life to changing these destructive tendencies, eradicating evil from their own lives and the lives of many other suffering people.
Master, a common negative emotion is the demon of resentment. Can we, by working on ourselves and cultivating elevated states within us, involve others in this process?
A very young girl from Moldova with sharp black eyes, two thick braids, and a charming smile on her lips turned to the Master.
"Before resentment, Marisha, there is always a bad idea, a belief that someone owes me something. When a person thinks that everyone should sing praises to them, and then, seeing that no one is going to do that, that person feels offended. Irritation, resentment, and a multitude of other negative emotions then arise. Perhaps parents instilled in the person this false idea of their exclusivity. They ran after them, served everything to them, constantly surrounded them with care, and they grew up as egotists, thinking that now everyone should treat them this way. And now, they not only expect the same treatment, but literally demand it from other people.
Almost everyone could recall what the master spoke about. Someone had such examples in their families. Someone observed similar things among acquaintances. And someone was once such a beloved child. That's why they were here. Pride and selfishness had so spoiled their lives that they had no other way but to go through spiritual purification.
But in life, it doesn't work like that,
continued the keeper.
In response to their claims, everyone owes me. The universe turns to the egoist with an unpleasant side. Circumstances unfold in a way that everything turns against them to break their arrogance, egoism, and pretense towards the world. For such a person, if they do not realize in time and do not begin to see the cause within themselves, resentment towards the whole world arises, and the situation worsens even more. Now, when the parents have died, there is no one to run around them, but they still continue to think the same way. On this fertile ground, like sprouts, negative emotions and experiences arise.
He saw how the faces of the disciples lit up, how his words sprouted in their souls, and he intensified the emerging desire in people's space to get rid of the dirt that has stuck to them and hinders their growth and development.
And the saddest thing is that such a person does not want to part with these thoughts, does not understand that they constantly torment them, limit them, attract a lot of demons. They do not want to realize that they need to part with these and finally see that no one owes them anything and stop suffering. The main thing is for people to restructure their thinking.
The last words the keeper pronounced almost like a chant.
I remember, great one. In such moments, you always taught us to cultivate elevated states or practice laughter meditation.
The girl smiled.
Here, Marisia, you already know the algorithm of salvation yourself,
the keeper replied with a smile. Adam was the most active participant today. Taking advantage of the arising pause, he hurried to ask his question again.
Master, in any group, there is always a person who carries an energetic negative cloud. All the negativity falls on them. They walk suppressed, offended, nothing suits them. I'm trying to understand. Why does the congregation of all demons from colleagues fall onto them? Or is it the person who attracts all the dark spirits with their behavior?
You touched on a serious topic, Adam,
noted the keeper.
Here's how it happens. First, one person thinks something bad, experiences a negative emotion, and a negative phantom arises. Then the second, the third, the fourth. These phantoms, arising from dirty thoughts and emotions, then merge into a large cloud. And this cloud flies around and sees who turns out to be the weakest. And weak, as you already understand, is not physically, but spiritually. Who from the group is most egoistically inclined?
Thinking only about oneself will become the target for this cloud? The young man guessed.
Exactly, you think correctly.
Master praised the disciple and continued.
Thinking too much about oneself, and boom.
The keeper of knowledge unexpectedly waved his hand in the air. His face portrayed that very blatant egotist and slightly twisted in confusion, as if saying, for what?
Now this cloud will mock them, torment them, bite them, start torturing them, because it serves as punishment for the egotist. And such a person will never understand. You need to stop thinking about yourself and start thinking what good I can do for people right now. How can I help them? And what is his way out?
The sage turned to the audience, understanding that his disciples, unlike this unfortunate person engulfed by the cloud, definitely knew the answer. He even made small circular motions with his hands as actors do, heating up the audience, and literally shouted,
"Well, save the man now. Demons fly around him, circle around him, rejoice, attack him. One sucks his energy, the second clings, the third bites, the fourth begins to torment."
As if in a play of one actor, the keeper vividly depicted this heartbreaking scene, vividly. The audience picked up the playful mood of their master and began shouting ideas from the audience on how to save the poor fellow.
"Forget about yourself."
"Don't care about yourself."
"Think about others."
"That's it."
The keeper raised his hands to the sky as if saying, "Hallelujah."
Now the cloud has nothing to rely on. It cannot sit on them, because the grace of God is coming to such a person.
After active participation in this vivid performance, the disciples immersed themselves in the bright, calming, happy energy, as if they had truly saved a real person. And each participant understood that, indeed, it was so. They experienced elevated emotions through laughter, through exaggeration. This emotional practice in challenging situations would help them as well. A charming, casually dressed guy of short stature named Jimmy, sitting across from the master, once again brought the hall back to a working atmosphere.
"Master, while our unrecognized Napoleon was suffering intensely, the demons rejoiced to their heart's content, and we were all saving him. A question arose in my mind. It seems to me that dark clouds come in different types. There are small clouds. They are easy to sort of bounce off like ping pong. You do spiritual practices, shake it off, and you're happy again. But there are huge clouds when you delve very deeply into negativity. And it becomes difficult. You can't do anything. What does it depend on? Does it depend on the fact that the group cultivated many negative thoughts? Who is to blame for the cloud being that size?"
The student's speech was fast and ringing, just like he himself. Like on hinges, this expressive guy from the suburbs of Texas, this red-haired young man was always resourceful and decisive.
"It depends on the person, Jimmy. One person thought a little about oneself, but overall they're inclined towards development, helping other people, doing something good, but thought a little about themselves. In this case, the cloud attacks them and starts tormenting and torturing them, and then the demons arrive. And the person thinks, something is wrong with me. I need to pray, repent, think about what good I can do for people. In this case, everything disperses, negativity, the cloud, demons, they all fly away. But it can be different. If a person has long cultivated dark thoughts within themselves, such as, things around me aren't going well, and I receive too little praise, then the cloud settles on them and hangs on for a long time. And this poor person does not understand that the biggest evil for them is their thoughts. They tell them, exaggerate, laugh, start raging at this state, look at it from the outside, separate from deadly attitudes. But a person says, no, I will keep this ugly state. No, I will never part with it. So in that case, the cloud hangs on them for a long time because they persist in evil, want to preserve it. But if they laughed at themselves, they would immediately be freed.
It seems I can guess why they keep various easy targets in some companies, so that these clouds hang over them.
The cheerful Jimmy's joke was supported by the entire hall and the master. Today's meeting, despite the complex topic, was surprisingly light in sensations. Together, they concluded the last story and formulated the algorithm. An advanced person, as soon as they emotionally feel a bit off, immediately does spiritual practices, thanks for hints, doesn't get stuck in negativity, thinks about who needs help and what good they can do for other people. And as a result, they managed to free themselves from these clouds. The ambiance of the castle remained unchanged. It was still mysteriously melancholic and cold. However, the group leaving the hall was not like the members of a gloomy and mysterious order, but a united group of like-minded individuals who found
the path to light and happiness. And today, thanks to the Keeper of Knowledge, they took another confident step on this path.
Do you want to know more? Watch the animated masterpiece that reveals the mysteries of humanity. Discover more sacred knowledge in books. You can meet the main characters of books at our seminars. Find your amulet of power. Participate in an individual ritual. Open free channel with daily spiritual practices for yourself. All these you will find on our website www.amazon1.org. Share this book and spread the great knowledge. Then people's lives will change for the better, and you will accumulate good karma and be able to help all your loved ones.